Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Cornhusker CBB Pod, your home for all things Nebraska men's basketball. Once again, I'm your host Dylan, and in this episode, I'm going to give you my projected starting lineup for the season, and run down the schedule, and give my thoughts on how this season will go. I'll also dive into some follower-submitted questions at the end. So let's get started with my starting lineup prediction for the 2025-26. I originally posted my starting five prediction back on June 24th on my Instagram page, and I'm sticking with it to this day. At point guard, I have Kendall Blue. Shooting guard, I have Jamarcus Lawrence. Small forward, I have Price Sanford. Power forward, I have Burke Buchdengel. And at center, we have Rink Mast. Like I said in the last week's pod, I really like Kendall Blue at that point guard position. We saw Bryce Williams play a little bit of point guard last year, and I think they're going to be able to insert Kendall Blue directly into his spot, and I expect him to start that position. Then I think they're going to surround Rink Mast with a bunch of shooters. Price is a knockdown shooter, Jamarcus Lawrence is a knockdown shooter, and Burke is also a very capable shooter from deep at times we saw last year, and I think he's going to be even better this year. And Kendall Blue can also shoot the ball from deep, and so I think this is going to be a very well meshed together starting five if they go with this group that I'm thinking. For the sixth man, I think it's going to be Connor Seguin. I think he's just more comfortable in that role. We saw him inserted into the starting lineup a little bit last year, but I just think overall he's better off the bench, and I think that's what he's more comfortable in, and I think he prefers that role. Then for the seventh man off the bench, I'm actually going to go with redshirt freshman Braden Frager. Just like I said last week, Hoiberg's been continuing to hype him up all offseason, and I think he's going to have a huge role in this team, and I just think he's going to have a huge season. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the Big Ten preseason media poll. Nebraska came in 14th place in that Big Ten preseason media poll, and I personally think that's way too low compared to where I will have Nebraska once we go through the schedule. I think they're a way more complete team than some of the teams that were picked ahead of them. Teams like Iowa, Ohio State, Indiana, Washington, USC, and Maryland were picked above Nebraska, and I personally think Nebraska has a big chance to do better than a lot of those teams. We'll dive into my season prediction of the schedule, and let's get going. I'm not going to talk in depth about a lot of these lower tier games because they should be easy wins, and we shouldn't focus our time on those. So first up, the first three games of the season are all at Pinnacle Bank Arena. West Georgia, that's going to be a win. Florida International, that's going to be a win. And Maryland Eastern Shore, that's also going to be a win. Our first big test of the season comes against Oklahoma, which is going to be on a neutral site in Sioux Falls, South Dakota at the Sanford Pentagon. They're led by head coach Porter Moser, and he's coming off a great season where he led the Sooners to a 9 seed in the NCAA tournament, but they were knocked out in the first round. Overall, I think Nebraska is going to come out with a win because of the fan advantage. I personally went to the Sanford Pentagon game 2 seasons ago when we absolutely obliterated Oregon State, and the fans played a huge role in that win. Last year, when we went back to the Sanford Pentagon, we lost to St. Mary's in a very close one, but the fans once again showed out, and I think it's going to be a very heavily favored Nebraska crowd against the Sooners this year in Sioux Falls. Next up is a neutral site tournament. It's called the Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City, Missouri, and we're going up against the New Mexico Lobos in the first game of that tournament. The Lobos will have a new head coach in Eric Olin, who came from the University of California, San Diego, after Richard Pitino left to take a better job, and so they're going to have a pretty brand new lineup and team overall, so I think that's going to give Nebraska the advantage, and I think we're going to move on to play the winner of Kansas State and Mississippi State. I think Kansas State and Jerome Tang are going to get the job done against Mississippi State, so it'll be the Wildcats versus Nebraska. We've played Kansas State 3 times in the last 4 years, and I think Nebraska once again will come out with the win against Kansas State, move on to 6-0 on the season. Nebraska's back at PBA with another lower tier opponent, Winthrop. I think Nebraska will get the job done pretty easy there. Another game at home, South Carolina Upstate, that'll be another Nebraska victory. Next up, we have our first huge test of the season with welcoming number 23 Creighton to Pinnacle Bank Arena. Of course, our hated rival. Nebraska hasn't won a game against Creighton at home since 2018, but they've defeated the Blue Jays twice on the road in consecutive road trips. Something tells me that I think the Big Red finally gonna get it done at home this year, and I think they're gonna pull off the upset. Creighton brings in 2 extremely good transfers, both from Iowa, funny enough, Josh Dix and Owen Freeman, led by Greg McDermott. It's going to be a very tough game, but I'm expecting PBA to be sold out and extremely loud for this game, and I just think we're going to get it done. Following that Creighton game, we go into that two-game period in December where we play Big Ten games. First up, we have Wisconsin at home. They were selected to be 24th in the preseason AP poll, still being led by head coach Greg Gard. Last year, they finished 27-10 and 13-7 in the conference. They lost three key contributors in John Tonjay, Stephen Crowell, and Max Klesmet, and they have returners in John Blackwell and Nolan Winter, and they also bring in transfers Nick Boyd from San Diego State, Austin Rapp from Portland, and Andrew Rohde from Virginia. This is going to be another great test for Nebraska. I think, once again, with the home advantage, we've done extremely well against Wisconsin at home in the past few seasons, and I think Nebraska will get another ranked win if they're still ranked by this point. That puts Nebraska 10-0 in my season predictions so far. Our first road test of the season is coming against number 17 Illinois, traveling to Champaign, Illinois. Brad Underwood, long tenured coach there, finished 22-13 and 12-8 in the conference last year. They lost two top 21 NBA draft picks in Kasperis Jakachionis and Will Riley. They also lost guard Trey White, who transferred to Kansas, but remain a good core group in Tomislav Ivicic, Kylan Boswell, Ben Humrichaus, and will return slasher and key defender Ty Rogers, who sat out last year redshirting. They also add in high key transfers in Andrej Stojakovic from Stanford, son of legendary NBA shooter Peja Stojakovic, and they also add in Tomislav's brother, Big Z, from Arkansas. So those two brothers, both 7 foot, gonna have a key advantage in the paint there. Nebraska doesn't have a very good track record playing in Champaign, and I think, once again, they're gonna drop this one, but their first loss of the season. After those two games in the conference play, we go back to non-conference. We have North Dakota at PBA. That's going to be another win. And then we round it off with New Hampshire at home, and that's going to be another win. So after non-conference is finished, I have us sitting at 12-1 and 1-1 in conference play. Our first game in the full Big Ten conference slate is against number 22 Michigan State at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Legendary coach Tom Izzo, still leading the Spartans, finished with an incredible 30-7 record last year, top of the conference at 17-3. They bring back key players Jeremy Fears Jr., Cohen Carr, Carson Cooper, Jackson Kohler. Sadly, one of their top transfers, Caleb Glenn, is out for the season after he got injured. So that's going to be a key loss for the Spartans that didn't even get to see him suit up in one game. They're going to need others to step up if they're going to want to finish with that good of a record as they did last year. But I think that ends up with another Nebraska win at home. Then we go on the road to Ohio State facing Jake Diebler, who I thought should have been fired last year, honestly. I don't think he's a very good coach. He was put in that interim role a couple seasons ago and then ended up getting the full-term coaching gig for Ohio State. And I just don't think it's going to pan out very well. Last year, they were led by Diebler to a 17-15 record, 9-11 in conference play. Their biggest key contributor they lost was guard Micah Parrish, who averaged 13 points per game. And Diebler was able to return key players as star guard Bruce Thornton returned after being heavily pursued in the transfer portal, ended up pulling out of the portal, coming back. Also returned big man Devin Royal, who played a huge role in the season last year. And they were able to retain breakout freshman John Mobley Jr., who returns for his sophomore campaign. They also added a 7-foot transfer, Christoph Tilly from Santa Clara. Similar to Illinois, Nebraska can just never get it done in Columbus, and I think this is going to be another road loss for Nebraska. I think that's going to be a pretty big trend for the Huskers this year, just like that 23-24 season where we went to the NCAA tournament. We had to get that monkey off our back on getting a road dub, and we just couldn't do it for the longest time, and I feel like that could be the theme of this season as well. Another game on the road up next, we travel to Indiana. Assembly Hall, super tough place to play there in Bloomington. They actually have a first-year head coach, Darian Devries, this year. Came in from West Virginia, fired Mike Woodson. Basically a whole new roster this year. Devries brought his son, Tucker, with him to Indiana from West Virginia. Averaged 15 points per game for West Virginia last year. They also bring in transfers Lamar Wilkerson from Sam Houston, who averaged 20 points per game, and Tayton Conaway from Troy, who averaged 14 a game. We've had some luck at Assembly Hall in the past, but this year I think it's going to be too much for Nebraska, and I think it's going to be another loss, which puts them at 2-3 in the conference and 13-3 overall. Nebraska will come back to Lincoln with a home game against the Oregon Ducks, led by Dana Altman. Finished last year 25-10, 12-8 in the conference. They had three key players graduate in TJ Bamba, K. Keyshawn Barthelemy and Brandon Angell. The Ducks bring back 7-foot center Nate Biddle, who played an extremely pivotal role in that team last year. They also bring back point guard Jackson Shellstad, who also played a very key role, and they also bring back Kwame Evans Jr. They added a 16-point-per-game scorer from Elon and Takai Simpkins and junior forward Sean Stewart from Ohio State, so that's going to give them some much-needed depth after losing some of their key contributors. I think Nebraska is going to get this win at home, get back on the right page, and they're going to defeat Dana Altman, who has some Nebraska ties as he coached the Creighton Blue Jays back then. Next up, we're on the road to Northwestern, Evanston, Illinois, facing Chris Collins. Last year, 17-16, 7-13 in the conference. They were looking to be pretty good, and then things went downhill after an injury to one of their best players. That player was Brooks Barnheiser, who actually ended up leaving to go to the NBA. He averaged 17 points per game and 9 rebounds per game, but they do return all Big Ten forward Nick Martinelli, who averaged 20 points per game and 6 rebounds per game last year. Very talented, crafty player, loves that hook shot over the middle of the paint. I think he's going to do a lot of damage this year, definitely going to probably finish on the all Big Ten first team as well. They also add a pair of transfers who averaged double digits last season in Max Green from Holy Cross and Jaden Reed from South Florida. I do think Nebraska is going to pick up a road win here, though. It's going to be huge for their NCAA tournament resume if they get to that point at the later half of the season, if they're in that position. You need to stack up those road wins if you want to be taken serious by the committee, and I think they do it here. Next up, we welcome Washington to Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln. Danny Sprinkle, their head coach, last year finished dead last in the Big Ten, 13-18 overall and 4-16 in the conference. I believe they're going to be one of the most improved teams this season in the Big Ten. They might not finish in the top nine. I believe they're going to take a 6-7 team jump this year and finish maybe somewhere in the 11-12 range. They lost their talented big man, Gray Osabor, and also Tyler Harris and DJ Davis, so definitely gonna look to replace that depth. But they loaded up in the transfer portal, adding USC players Desmond Claude and Wesley Yates III, and they also added a big man from Rutgers and Lathan Somerville, and Jacob Ognesevich from Lipscomb, and return talented young player Zoom Diallo, who's going to be a sophomore this year and played extremely well down the stretch last year. But I think that's going to be another win for Nebraska. Move to 16-3 overall, 5-3 in the conference. Then we go to the barn, Minnesota, led by first-year head coach Nico Medved. Last year, Ben Johnson, who was fired, 15-17, 7-13 conference play, just never could get the Gophers turned around, and I think they made the right decision in firing Ben Johnson and hiring Nico Medved, who comes in from Colorado State, extremely talented and smart head coach, and I think if anyone can get the job done in Minneapolis, I think it's going to be Nico Medved that can turn it around there. They did lose their 19-point-per-game scorer, Dawson Garcia, who graduated. Basically, whole new roster, which happens when you fire and hire a new coach in this new era of college basketball, the transfer portal. You're going to get a whole new roster, basically. No one sticks around. They're highlighted by transfers Langston Reynolds from Northern Colorado, Bobby Durkin from Davidson, Chancey Willis Jr. from Western Michigan, and BJ Omot from Cal. I think it's going to be a challenging year for Minnesota. I don't think they're going to do anything special. Probably finish 15-18 in the Big Ten this year. So I think that's going to be another road win for Nebraska. Next, we travel to Ann Arbor, take on the Michigan Wolverines. Dusty Mays in his second year. First year at Michigan, he finished 27-10, 14-6, had an unbelievable year with their 2 7-footers in the paint locking it down. Unfortunately for the Wolverines, both 7-footers ended up going to the NBA, and Danny Wolf and Vlad Goldin. Danny Wolf selected in the first round of the NBA draft, and then Vlad Goldin was picked up, didn't get drafted, but picked up as an undrafted free agent. They have returnees and guards, Namari Burnett Jr. and Roddy Gale Jr., and they have a pretty good transfer class in Elliot Cadeau from North Carolina, Morez Johnson Jr. from Illinois, Yaxel Lendenborg from UAB, who I think should have stuck in the NBA draft. I think he would have been a first rounder, but I guess he must have gotten some news from scouts and his agent that told him to go back to college, ended up going to Michigan. I think he's going to easily be on that first team All Big Ten as well. He's unbelievable player for his size. And they also add a 7'3" transfer, Ade Mara from UCLA. So once again, even though they lost both 7-footers in Wolf and Golden, they're going to replace that with a 7'3" Mara and Yaxel Lendenborg, who are just going to dominate the paint once again. Being on the road, Nebraska, I think, is definitely going to drop this game. And then they welcome their first reappearing team on their schedule, which is number 17, Illinois, coming into Pinnacle Bank Arena. I think Nebraska is going to get swept by Illinois this year. I think they're just way too talented. Would love to see us pull out this win at home, but I think we're going to go 0-2 against the Fighting Illini. That puts Nebraska 18-4 and 7-4 in my predictions. Next up, Nebraska travels to Piscataway, New Jersey to take on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I think they're going to be one of the worst teams this year, unfortunately, for the Scarlet Knights. Led by Steve Peichel, his job security is on the ropes right now. I think if things don't go well this year, I think he'll be fired. They had two top five NBA players last year. Finished 15-17, 8-12 in the conference. It's pretty inexcusable. The rest of the roster wasn't really good, but having two top five picks in the NBA, you just gotta find a way to get it done. But those two top five picks were, of course, point guard Dylan Harper and power forward Ace Bailey. And they also, like I said earlier in the Washington preview, their big man, who was their third best player, Lathan Somerville, went to Washington in the transfer portal. They do bring back two very young, impressive, talented players in Dylan Grant and Bryce Dortch. I think they're going to have to step up if Rutgers wants to do anything of notice this year. They also bring in Darren Buchanan Jr. from George Washington, Tariq Francis from NJIT, and Bay Fall from Kansas State. This should be an easy road win for Nebraska if things go to plan. Next up is going to be an extremely fun one. Current number one team in the AP preseason poll, Purdue, coming to Lincoln. Last time they came to Lincoln in 23-24, they were the number one team in the country. We knocked them off, stormed the court. Super fun experience. I was able to get on the court during the court storm, and it was an awesome experience. Led by head coach Matt Painter, one of the best in the entire country. Finished last year 24-12 and 13-7 in the Big Ten. They bring back All-Americans Braden Smith and Trey Kaufman Wren. Of course, Braden Smith is one of the best, if not the best, point guard in all of college basketball. Just absolute wizard with the ball. The passes he can make, can create his own shot even for his small size, can absolutely shoot the ball from deep. Just watching him is so much fun, and it's even more fun in person. They also return guard Fletcher Lawyer, who's going to play a key role again, once again for them. And Matt Painter doesn't like to use the transfer portal all that much, but they did bring in center transfer Oscar Clough from South Dakota State, who's 6'11". So that's going to bring in some good big man depth for them, either alongside Trey Kaufman Wren or behind him. But I do not see Nebraska knocking off number one Purdue again at home. I think that was like a once-in-a-lifetime experience, so I think that'll go for a loss for Nebraska. Then another game against Northwestern, this time at home. Not much to say about this. I think this is going to go for another win for Nebraska. Put them at 20-5 and 9-5 on the season for my predictions. And then we travel on the road to Iowa. They have first-year head coach Ben McCollum. We finally fired Fran McCaffrey after all those years. Didn't think they were going to ever do it, but they finally did. Fran finished last year 17-16, 7-13. They just thought it was finally time to move on from Fran. Sad day for us Nebraska fans. Gonna miss him getting fired up on the sideline. They also lost their top three players. Peyton Sanford graduated, brother of Price, of course, who's now on Nebraska. He went on to give NBA shot. They also, like I mentioned in the Creighton preview, big man Owen Freeman and Josh Dix both transferred to Creighton. And of course, like I just mentioned, Price Sanford came to Nebraska, and their point guard Brock Harding also transferred to TCU. So a lot of turnover we're seeing with these coaching firings and new hires. But luckily for Ben McCollum and the Hawkeyes, they bring in one of the best transfers and players in all of college basketball. Bennett Sturts, who played for Coach McCollum last year at Drake, had an unbelievable run in the NCAA tournament. Super fun to watch. Very upsetting that he ended up following McCollum to Iowa, but it was expected. And they also add in Kansas State sharpshooter Brendan Housen. So I think this being on the road, even though it's the first season for McCollum, I think Iowa we'll get the job done against Nebraska, and that'll be a loss for Nebraska on the road. Next up, we have the Penn State Nittany Lions coming to Pinnacle Bank Arena, led by Mike Rhodes. Finished last year 16-15, 6-14 overall. They finished 17th in the Big Ten, right below Nebraska. It's looking to be another pretty rough year for the Nittany Lions. They lost their top five scorers from this past season. It's going to be very tough to replace looking at their roster. They lost Ace Baldwin Jr., Zach Hicks, Nick Kern Jr., and Puff Johnson, who all graduated. And then you had Yannick Conan Niederhauser, who was selected in the NBA draft by the Los Angeles Clippers. I think that's just going to be a lot to overcome for a team that finished 17th, and I think they're going to be back in the bottom three this year. They do bring back sniper Freddie DeLeon V, and also still have former Nebraska player Eli Rice, who should get some run this year following his season-ending injury last year. Should be an easy home win for Nebraska. Nebraska has another home game against Maryland. Another first-year head coach, Buzz Williams coming in from Texas A&M, who we lost to, of course, in that NCAA tournament game 2023-24. Last year, Kevin Willard led the Terrapins to a 27-9, 14-6 record. Ultimately, ended up leaving for that Villanova opening. I wasn't too surprised about. Whole new roster, pretty much. They have a bunch of key transfers, include David Coit from Kansas, Pharrell Payne from Texas A&M, Miles Rice from Indiana, Elijah Saunders from San Diego State, and Solomon Washington from Texas A&M as well. So you see two of the A&M Aggie players following their coach to Maryland. I have that Maryland home game in the win column for Nebraska. This season, luckily for Nebraska, they put their two-game California road trip at the very end of the season, pretty much, and I think that works out for Nebraska. They'll be a little more tired, but I think they'll be a lot more settled in to travel to California to take on two of these West Coast teams back-to-back. So first up, they'll play USC on the road, led by Eric Musselman. Finished last year 17-18, 7-13 in the conference. They had one of the most eventful off-seasons out of any of the Big Ten teams. They lost their two leading scorers, Desmond Claude and Wesley Yates III, like I said earlier in the Washington preview. They went to their Big Ten foe, Washington. They also lost Rashawn Agee to A&M in the portal, and they lost a pair of graduates in Chibuzu, Ogbo, and St. Thomas. One of the few players they return is Terrence Williams II, who missed a lot of time last year due to injury, but he's back this year. They do bring in a loaded transfer class with Rodney Rice from Maryland, EJ Neal Jr. from Sacramento State, Jordan Marsh from UNC Asheville, Amarion Dickerson from Robert Morris, Ryan Cornish from Dartmouth, Jacob Kofi from Virginia, Jaden Brownell from Samford, Ezra Asar from Utah, who Nebraska made a heavy run at, got him on campus, but ultimately ended up going to USC. And finally, they were able to add Chad Baker Mazzara from Auburn. But I do have Nebraska dropping this game on the road to USC. So next up, face number 12, UCLA on the road, led by one of the best coaches in college basketball, Mick Cronin. Last year, they finished 23-11 in their debut season in the Big Ten, 13-7. Overall in the conference, they lost guards Sebastian Mack and Dylan Andrews to the transfer portal, and guard Kobe Johnson graduated. They do return a very good core group of Eric Daly Jr., Tyler Bilodeau, and Sky Clark, and they also bring in a fantastic transfer class with point guard Donovan Dent from New Mexico, who was one of the best point guards in the nation last year, so that's going to give them a lot of needed depth, replacing a bunch of the guards they lost. Bring in Jamar Brown from Kansas City. They also bring in big man Xavier Booker from Michigan State, who's going to be a decent replacement for Ade Mara. And finally, the last game of the season for Nebraska is going to be Iowa at home. I think they're going to avenge their loss early in the season at Iowa and get that win back at home here at Nebraska and finish out the season with a win, give the seniors big send-off. And ultimately, I have Nebraska finishing 23-8 and 12-8 in conference play. We finished 12-8 in conference play in that 23-24 season where we made the NCAA tournament, but the overall record's a lot better this year in my predictions. I do feel like that's a very generous prediction, as we could drop a game or two in non-conference play against Creighton, New Mexico, Kansas State, Oklahoma, maybe drop two of those. But I really like this team this season, and I think they're going to do a lot better than that 14th projected by the media. And with that 12-8 conference record, I think that means Nebraska is going to finish anywhere between 7th and 9th in the Big Ten. And I think that's going to be enough to get Nebraska into the NCAA tournament for the second time in three seasons, which would be a huge victory for Fred Hoiberg and his coaching staff this year. We do have a game coming up this Saturday. It's an exhibition game, but I think it's going to be a very fun one. We're welcoming in preseason AP poll number 8, BYU. Going to be at Pinnacle Bank Arena, open to fans. Going to be an awesome atmosphere. Fortunately, because the football game this year is on this Friday, got that game off from work, so I'm going to have to work during the exhibition game on Saturday, and I won't be able to go. But I think it's going to be an awesome experience. The Cougars are led by 5-star and number 2 player in the 2025 recruiting class, 6'9 forward AJ DeBanza. If you've watched his highlights, he's an incredible player, and he's easily probably going to be the number 1 projected overall pick in the upcoming NBA draft next year. So I think it's going to be very fun team for Nebraska to face an exhibition game. Ultimately, it doesn't mean a whole lot, win or lose. Just hope we can get our guys out there and have them in front of the fans. It's going to be fun just to see how Nebraska shapes up against a top 10 team like this before this season even gets going. We did just have a Fred Hoiberg presser today, so he did release the starting lineup for the BYU game, which is different than my lineup. So here's what Fred Hoiberg said for the BYU starting lineup.
I'll tell you our starters. I'm going to start Jamarcus, Price, Kale, Burquet and Rink. That'll be our starting group on Saturday afternoon. And, you know, we may start different against Midland. We probably will start different against Midland. We've got a lot of guys that have shown they deserve, you know, an opportunity to go out there and show what they can do and fight for rotation minutes. And, you know, there's a good chance we'll play 10, you know, maybe 11 guys.
Okay, and finally, to end off this podcast episode, I'm going to answer some follower-submitted Q&A questions. I'm going to do this throughout the podcast episodes. So if you just go to my Instagram page, CornhuskerCBB on Instagram, you'll be able to submit questions, and I'll maybe read them and answer them. So question number one was, who do you think will be the sixth man off Nebraska's bench? Kind of went over this earlier in the podcast episode, but I think it's going to be Connor Asijan. Like I said, he's just more comfortable in that role. I think he prefers coming off the bench than starting and just lets him warm up off the bench to come in and start sniping from deep. So I definitely have Connor Asijan in that role. Question number two is, do you think the BYU exhibition game will be an indicator for how good we are? Like I just touched on, exhibition games ultimately obviously don't matter because they don't count towards the record. You'll usually play more guys than you would in your regular rotation. So I think it could be a good indicator, but overall, I don't think it's going to be end all be all if we get slaughtered by 30 or something like that. I don't think that means we're going to be horrible this year. But I do think it'll be a good test to see where we are talent-wise against one of the top teams in the nation. And the last question I'll be answering is, how do you think Rink Mass will do at the beginning of the season? I definitely think he'll have to shake off some rust. Obviously, he missed a whole year with that knee injury, but I think he'll get back to form pretty quick. I'm expecting a huge season for Mass this year, and I think he's going to do great leading the offense, and I think he's going to have a huge year in the point total column, shooting column, assist column, rebound column. I think he's just going to have a very good year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was able to get on the third team or second team All Big Ten this year. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the second podcast episode about my projected starting lineup, schedule predictions, and what our Big Ten opponents look like. In the next episode, I'm excited to welcome my first guest to the pod to possibly talk about some throwback hoops. Stay tuned, GBR. Let's get the season rolling. Go Big Red.